I'm going to talk to you about faith today, and to really get to know Jesus Christ and to truly have a relationship with Him is the building of faith. And the Bible tells us that faith comes through hearing God's Word, and studying, and in going to Bible studies, and all that stuff is the building of the faith. But today we want to take a true biblical look and definition and understanding of what faith is, and how can we grow our faith. Okay, what does the Bible teach about what is faith? And then what does the Bible tell us about how can we increase our faith? So let's look here. The Bible gives us a very clear definition of what faith is. And we need to understand what is truly being said here. Okay, so the top verse there is the New King James Version. It's real close to the King James. They call it the Authorized Version. Okay, the New King James just kind of cleans up the verbiage a little bit, makes it a little bit more modern. And it tells us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we see some big words there, some powerful words, some biblical words that tell us that your faith is where your hope lies in things that have not been revealed to you. All right? And then when I study my own Bible study, I use the Amplified Version. And as I was preparing for the sermon today, I really liked how the Amplified Version brought it out. And so I've got that included up there as well. And I think that it kind of clears up, because I think what we tend to come away and think of as faith is that it is an act. Okay? That's how most of us are taught, is that faith is an act. And it's almost taught to us like there are times in your life when you don't really believe and you are filled with doubts. Anybody there? Okay? So there are these times where we doubt and we have fears, and all that gets coalesced into these feelings of anxiety. And when we have decisions to make about life and about family and just decisions in general, we tend to think, well, I need to have faith. And kind of what we've come to understand and be taught what faith is where I act away when I'm not for sure if it's going to happen or not. But if I have a strong enough and a large enough amount of faith, then it will come true for me. And that's kind of the 21st century definition of faith. But I like how the Amplified Version set that up and kind of puts the true definition of what faith is. And it says, now faith is the assurance. And then it goes on and it clarifies what that word means in context to the subject of this verse, which is faith. So what it's telling you that is that the assurance of faith is actually the title deed of faith. Now, what does that mean? If you hold the title deed to something, what does that mean? That means that you are in possession of something. And it goes on and says that it is a confirmation, which is an undeniable belief, a strong, firm, confirmed belief in something. So now we have a total different understanding about what the Bible is projecting, what faith truly is. And faith is not an act. Faith is a possession of a gift. And it goes on and says there that this is the assurance of things hoped for. And what is, when you have true biblical faith, then look at how hope changes from the 21st century definition of what we've come to believe it is. Hope is not some idea that I really hope that's going to come true. I hope for your sake. I get that at my house a lot. Okay? I hope for your sake that happens. That's her understanding of the word, okay? But if we look at what the Bible is presenting, the idea of hope is a divine guarantee. Now we're operating on a whole nother level. Now we're not operating in blind faith, where I have been taught to have faith. I'm not really for sure what that means, but it means that I have to hope for things that I don't know is going to come true or not, but I've been taught that God loves me, and if I have faith, that is a very simplified, low-level understanding of what faith is. And for us who need to be mature Christians, we need to understand that faith is a possession that you've been given a title deed to, a gift from God, where that your hope is now built upon guarantees. We all hope for eternal life, right? Our faith is in a hope that we have eternal life. But it is not, I hope that there's a heaven, and I have faith that I can't see it, but that is not what faith, biblical faith is. That's not what the gift from God is. The gift of faith is to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a heaven. And if you've accepted and been cleansed by Jesus Christ's sacrifice and blood, then that is a divine guaranteed. And you have faith knowing that you will be in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit forever at some point. Now we're talking about biblical faith. And then it says that it is the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality, the belief of their reality. Faith comprehends as facts what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. So now we're operating on a whole nother level of what faith truly is. And faith is not a blind act filled with a hope and a pie in the sky kind of thing. Faith is a possession. It is a gift that you have the title for. Just like you might own a car or a house at one point, you have been given the title to your faith. God has given you faith. It is a gift from Him, and it is built on hope, which is not a pie in the sky, but a guarantee, a divine guarantee from God Himself. That is biblical faith. So now let's look. There are different kinds of faith. All right? The first faith that anyone ever receives is what is called saving faith. And we need to truly understand. So now we've gotten the idea that faith is a possession. It is a gift of God. And Ephesians charts it out for us and says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Do you understand what mercy is? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Okay, so we deserve to be condemned, but God loved us so much that He bestowed mercy upon us so that we will not be condemned to death, but receive everlasting life. And it says there that because of His great love for us, He loved us. He performed the act of loving. He brought it into reality. So now faith becomes a part of this. And it says that even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ, because by grace you have been saved. And it goes on and says there that, and raised up together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So now we are talking about the promises that are built within faith. And we have the reality of those now. So those promises are not something that is going to come true. Those promises are something that have already come true. It's just that we haven't gotten to experience them yet. Does that make sense to you? And it goes on and says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. All right? So that's setting up these famous verses right there, which says that, and this is where we understand saving grace. For by grace you have been saved. Okay? Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. So now we're receiving gifts. What are the gifts? That we have been saved. Eternal life, atonement, forgiveness of our sins. How do we get there? What is the avenue that brings us to salvation? The avenue, the highway, the doorway that presents us to salvation is actually faith. But here's the understanding. This is nothing on our part. The saving faith is a gift from God. And it goes on and tells us that this is not of yourself. Okay? You have been saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It is a gift from God. It's not an act. It is a possession. It is a gift. Because if it was an act, then someone in this history of this world could boast, other than Jesus Christ, could boast of salvation. And that is heresy. Your salvation is 100% dependent upon Jesus Christ. You had nothing to do with it. The avenue that presents you to salvation is saving faith. But that in of itself is an actual gift from God. He gives you the faith to believe in Jesus Christ. Because if you had anything to do with your own salvation, then you could boast of it. And the Bible says that that is heresy. That is taking away from what credit goes to Jesus Christ. And it says there that we are His workmanship. Now, what does that mean? It means that everything good found inside of us does not come from us, but has been created and bestowed upon us as a gift by God. And found inside of that is faith. And it says there that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which means that when we go out and serve, we don't serve for us. We serve because we are the workmanship and the tools created by God for His glory, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You have a ministry. It was declared before you were ever conceived. God knew you before you were ever placed in your mother's womb, and it's time that those of us realize what our ministries are and claim them in faith, and then go out and perform them in true biblical faith. And that's what this is saying here. And it is a true understanding of what faith is, in that it is a gift. Because if you come away with anything believing in your head that you have something to do with your own salvation, then you don't truly understand salvation, you don't truly understand grace, you don't truly understand mercy, and you can't truly understand what faith is. So now we move on to the next one. And I call this one sanctified faith. And this is critical. This one is critical. 1 Corinthians charts out for us, and remember, this is a letter to a church, okay? This is a teaching letter to a church. They had some problems. They had done some great work. They had some problems. But Paul is clarifying some things here. And when you look at 1 Corinthians 12, it tells us that there are a diversity of activities that go on inside of the church, right? We know that. Yesterday, probably not very many people know this, but the clothes closet ladies, how many baskets did you give away? Food baskets did you give away yesterday? 36 food baskets, okay, the needy families. That was Saturday morning around 9 o'clock. There are ministries, there are people meeting inside of this church that not everybody knows about. We don't have to know about it, okay? We are fulfilling the ministry needs that God has presented us with. All right? And there are people, those of you that I'm always afraid, like Janice, don't get mad at me. Janice does a lot of work on Wednesday nights with the food and stuff, okay? I mean, there's not that you would. Don't take that wrong, okay? I'm sorry. No. But, I mean, when you start naming people, you worry about hurting people's feelings because there are so many of you that do stuff that you can't, I mean, you just can't list it all. And we're thankful for that, for the diversity of gifts and ministries that go on inside of this church. And I'm telling you, we can't operate at maximum capacity level without each one stepping up and doing that. And if you haven't claimed your ministry yet, and you're not exercising your gifts that God gives you, then you're not only cheating yourself in this church, but you're also cheating God. And so it lays out here that there is a diversity of activities going on, right? But it tells us and explains it that it is the same God who works all in all. So what is that saying? That if we do it right and we perform our ministries in the same way or in the appropriate way, then God is working through all of us for the good of all. That's why he bestows gifts on different people. And he says there that there is a manifestation of the Spirit that is given to each one. So we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with that comes ministry gifts. Sometimes they're musical gifts. Sometimes they're teaching gifts. Sometimes they're just gifts of compassion. And faith is one of those gifts. And it's what's called sanctified faith. And sanctified faith is a critical element to a healthy relationship, to a healthy family, and to a healthy church and community. And it goes on and tells us there that the Spirit is given to each one so that all can profit, so that we all get fulfilled and we all get tended to our needs and we all get built up here inside of the church. And inside of this, one of the gifts that is expressed that builds people up and that helps people is what's called sanctified faith. Now, what is sanctified faith? Well, this is a ministry. This is a gift given to certain people. The Bible expresses that. It says that right here, that there's a diversity of gifts given inside of the church, and they're given to certain people. And they're given so that people inside of the church can profit from those gifts, so that God is glorified. And look, it says, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. So the Spirit lives through us, some of us, and words of wisdom are given. You know those people who you go to, ask for advice. They give you true biblical words of wisdom because they have been blessed with the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit lives through them and gives out words of wisdom. It's not their own words, because we know that the world presents knowledge that doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. And then we get knowledge that only comes through the Spirit, and to the world, it doesn't make sense. But it comes true and it works for Christians. And it says, to another, there is the knowledge, the word of knowledge. So there are great teachers that are found inside of a church who preach the word, who present it in a way that people can understand what's the Bible saying. And that is not their own knowledge. That is the Holy Spirit working through them as they exercise and perform their gifts. And then it goes on and says, you see the next one? To another, faith by the same Spirit. And then I put the dot, 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 because it goes on and talks about several other, look them up, okay? It goes on and talks about several other gifts that are bestowed. But faith, sanctified faith, is an actual gift bestowed on certain individuals inside of a church, family, and communities. Now, what do I mean by sanctified faith? Well, let's look here. It says, for I say, through the grace given to me, this is Paul again speaking, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, because God has dealt to us, each one, a measure of faith. Now, what does that mean? What is he talking about? Some of us have been given a lot of faith, some of us have not. Well, here's what the Bible's teaching. And what the Bible is teaching is that inside of a church, there have been diversity of gifts spread out amongst the members so that all can be tended to and that everybody gets to serve. And inside of that, one of them is faith. Now, what happens with sanctified faith? Sanctified faith is someone who has been given a measure of faith as a gift from God. And as the Spirit works through them, their faith, now listen to this, okay? Their faith edifies and builds up others' faith inside of the church. Does that make sense? God has bestowed upon certain individuals sanctified faith. It is a gift from God. It is a ministry from God. And for those who are in a time of crisis, in a time of doubt, in a time of need, you come into contact with those people. And throughout your conversation, they have a level of faith. And when they speak words the revelation of that faith comes through, and by speaking with them, they minister to us and they help build us up and build up our own faith. That is their gift. That is their ministry. And I'll tell you, the past couple of weeks, been going through some stuff my own. Okay? I'm just like you guys. I have other stuff going on, another job and all that. I've got kids, I've got bills, I've got college for my kids to think of. I would like to retire one day. Healthcare stuff, you know, all that going on. And anytime a change comes into your life, you can pray about it. And you can feel like you got like a faithful answer, like I have faith that this is the way to go. But that doesn't keep the devil from pounding on you and trying to drive doubts in your mind. And I know that a lot of us are there. And we stay there on a continual basis. But what we can't do is let the devil beat us with our own doubts and destroy the path that God has planned for us. And if we were just to do this on our own, if we were out there an island in the stream, then that can happen. The devil can win that battle. So what happens is that we have to be families of faith. We have to have people step up and exercise their gift of sanctified faith. And then that has to happen inside of a church, because there are all of us who have doubts. And when we're going through a period of doubt, there is nothing better than to have a conversation with someone who has been gifted with sanctified faith. Because when you walk away from them, you know that, hey, I've been having a lot of doubts, but I can do this. This is what I'm supposed to do. And they put you back in that position where you got that initial confirmation from the Spirit that these are the steps you're supposed to take. God will not leave you alone. He will not let you suffer in your doubt and your fear. When we pull away, when we get into depression, when we get into doubts and we let the fears consume us, we pull away. That's what we talked about last week. That was the thing about pride. The devil pulled you away from where you're supposed to be and lied to you. The same thing happens in life. When doubts sink in and when fears sink in, we kind of pull away. We are afraid to fail. We don't want to be embarrassed. We won't have to say, I didn't get that one right. I got to redo it. I got to keep trudging on. And what we end up doing is pulling away, and then now we are exposed, we're not protected, and the devil just starts beating on us all alone, and you will lose that battle every time. But God does not want that plan for you. So what he has done is placed you inside of families in a church, in a loving church, and inside of those families in church, he's bestowed sanctified faith on certain people so that you can come into contact with them, and as the doubts beat you down, you get lifted up and edified and built up by those who are gifted with sanctified faith. That's God's plan for you. That's why church is so important. That's why it's so important for all of us to accept the gifts and ministries that God has poured into us. That's how a church grows right there. That's how people are able to accept what God's placed into their lives. Because you will lose that battle on your own every time. And if you've been blessed with sanctified faith, then step up and let's exercise that ministry. And then we get to a working faith. And this is the faith that all of us have, that all of us live with each and every day, a working faith. And why is it called a working faith? Well, in Luke 17, we have a discussion here where Jesus Christ is talking and he's teaching. And then the disciples come away thinking, I will never reach Jesus's faith level. You know, duh, okay? But what they come away knowing is that, boy, after listening to you talk, I don't have much faith. So they come to him. And the question is, can we increase our faith? So they come and say, ask of Jesus Christ, increase our faith. And this is what he says. Your working faith should be a growing faith. Because he says that you should have faith if you could just have faith of a mustard seed. Now, what we tend to pull out of this, okay, and it's not wrong. Don't get me wrong. Don't mishear me, okay? This is a statement. You know, a little bit of faith could conquer the world. Okay? That's true. And that is a very small part of what Jesus is saying here. But what he's saying is that if you just have a faith, a mustard seed, then you could look at a mulberry tree with its roots that are so diverse and so filled that they tend to live for up to 600 years. And you could pull that out. And what we come to understand is that your faith has to continually be growing. Because not any of us have ever looked at a tree and said, come up out of the ground, and it came up out of the ground. But Jesus teaches that faith of that magnitude exists. That's what he says there. So how can we grow our faith? Four convictions, and then I'll let you go. Four convictions. Conviction number one, change your focus. Anytime you read the Bible and it lays out applicable steps for how to do something, usually number one, step number one, conviction number one, foundation number one, whatever you want to pull out, usually it is all about mindset. Because we operate in a world that pulls us away. It influences our mindsets. And it influences in a way to where some of us don't truly have a complete understanding of faith. As we talked about right at the beginning of this, is that some of us are still operating on a faith that is like, I can't see it, and I think it's there, I hope it's there, and I'm going to hope and just, you know, act out in faith. That's not true biblical faith. All right? So step conviction number one is to change your focus. In Hebrews 11, I would give you a little, if I could give you homework, go home and read Hebrews 11 this week. It's the Hall of Fame faith, the Faith Hall of Fame. It talks about some great characters there. And inside of this, it talks about Sarah, who's the wife of Abraham, who is elderly, like 80-something years old. Abraham's at 90. They've been childless their entire lives. And I don't know how much you know about biology, but there's not a lot of 80-year-olds having kids nowadays, okay? And at that point where they have lived their life with the understanding that we will never have a child of our own, and they have accepted it and lived and been blessed, lived a very blessed life, God comes to them and says, move to a foreign land. I know you got everything built up there. I know you got everything you could ever want, but move to a foreign land, and I'm going to give you a child. Most of us would be like, reception's not very good. I heard that wrong. And that was what was presented to him. And when you look there, the Bible says that Sarah herself received strength to conceive a child. Now, why does she have to receive strength to conceive a child? Because she's 80 years old. Never in her life could she ever give birth. But because of a promise from God, she received all the things necessary to have that promise become a reality. And it says there that she bore a child when she was past age. And it says there that she, because she judged him faithful who promised. She changed her mindset. So now the focus is not on what can I do, what can I achieve, what are my limitations. Now the mindset is that I have a faith which is a possession, which is a very gift from God himself, and my hope is a divine guarantee. So now instead of hearing, I'm 80 years old, never had a child, and you're telling me I'm going to have a child now? Sounds impossible, but I hope it's true, and I got faith. Yeah, I got some kind of faith here. Now she has biblical faith that says that I'm 80 years old, I'm past the if I could have ever had kids. I'm past that time in my life. But if you say it's true, then it is true. And I have the deed that says that this will be true. That's the kind of faith that Sarah had. And then it says there, and this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Therefore, from one man. And what kind of state was this man in? It says there that he was as good as dead. Like most of us men, right? We're as good as dead. So let me tell you, let me ask you to kind of talk to yourself this morning and kind of review where you are in your life and how strong you feel and how secure you feel in all your skills and abilities. And let me say that if you're feeling like you're as good as dead, then guess what? You're perfect for God. Because he used Abraham, who was good as dead. And he says there that he was born to him more descendants than all the stars in the sky. From this one guy. But you have to understand that it is because of God, not because of Abraham and Sarah. It was their faith. And it makes it crystal clear that she was without strength to do it, and he was as good as dead. But they had the kind of faith that the Bible talks about that says that I have the deed that says in my hand that you will give us a child, and that hope is a guarantee. The hope that we have in this is guaranteed. So number one, truly understand what your faith is. And it is not an act, it is a possession from God with divine guaranteed hope. It is not anything on us. Change our focus, not on us, but on God. Our faith is not on us. Our faith is a gift from God. Everything in this life is a gift from God. Change your focus. Conviction number one. Conviction number two, faith is obedience. Now, what does this mean? Well, it says there, by faith, when he was tested. Now, here we are, years later, and we finally have this. If you ever read Genesis and you study that story of Abraham, it's like that. Whew, that child is promised, and then you go chapters and chapters without that child ever coming. You're like, whew. It's almost like a true gestation period when you read the Bible on that. Okay? But now we've already passed through this, and now here's Isaac, and he's becoming a man. He's at the age where he's starting to become a man. And then here's this child who the promise, now think about what the promise is. It's the bloodline of Jesus Christ. This is the bloodline that will bring forth Jesus Christ. And this child is promised to a childless parent in their late 80s and 90s. And it says there that when this child started to become a man and the fruition of the promise started to happen, God comes to him and says, hey, I need you to go sacrifice that kid. And it says there that he went out in faith. And it says there that he had such a faith that he took that kid up there and went through the process. And I actually think that he started to bring that knife down and an angel stopped him. That's just my vision in my head. But he did that. And he did that because he had such a faith that he knew that God, if he sacrificed Isaac, would bring him back to him, even if it was back from the dead. And it says there that he actually received him back in a figurative sense, that he had already sacrificed that child. The deed was already done. So faith is obedience. And sometimes when we're in situations in our lives and God's asking us to do something, it doesn't make sense. And when you chart out the pros and cons, sometimes you're still mixed on whether or not this is God's will. But when you pray about it and you get the confirmation this is God's will, sometimes it's not going to make sense. And you're going to need the kind of faith that Sarah and Abraham had so that you can go out and do the things that God's calling you to do. And faith is found in obedience. And that is the second confirmation here, is that if you're going to truly be obedient to God, you have to have the kind of faith that says, I've got the title deed, and my hope is built on divine guarantees. Conviction number three, faith is actually a form of worship. Now, how is that? Well, in Luke 17, we have the disciples again, going back. It says there, these are the words of Jesus Christ. All right, and he's saying, well, here's the deal, okay? If you had a servant who was out doing what he was supposed to be doing his job, then when he comes in from the field, would you say, hey, let me get you something to eat, let me feed you, let me take care of you, all right? Or would you say to that servant, hey, now it's your time to do your other job, which is to gird yourself up and serve me and feed me? And what is the explanation here is that we are being put into our place. Because sometimes we think that we are faithful because we deserve it. And we look and we think, dear Lord, be faithful to me. Dear Lord, bless me. When actually our faith is a form of worship to God. Because now listen, we've changed our mindset. God is the creator of all things in life. He is the start of all blessings. He pours all blessings into us. Even our salvation is a gift from God. The very faith that gets us there is a gift from God. And sometimes we can come out and say that our faith is what made us, and we start to have pride about our faith. And then we get into a certain stage to where we think that God actually needs to bless us because we deserve it. And what Jesus is presenting here is that your faith is a form of worship, which means that you have to have the proper idea of faith is an actual gift from God, which allows us to receive all the other gifts from God, because he is the one who blesses. And we are to worship God, not the other way around. So conviction number three is that your faith is actually a form of worship. And then conviction number four, faith is enduring. And in Hebrews 11, back to the Faith Hall of Fame chapter, it goes down a litany of all these faithful people in the Bible and how their story of faith and how it changed the history of the world. And it presents all these stories in the Bible of great faithful people that God blessed through his faith. And it says there that, now listen to this, these all died in faith. Now what does that mean, to die in faith? All right, it says not having received the promises. So here's the kind of faith that you have to have. It is an enduring faith, which means that you can be given a promise from God. You can be put on a path from God so that you and your family can achieve something, a blessing from God. All right? But then some of us who are the start of the pathway will never come to realize the full blessing that God has. But that doesn't mean that you don't do the journey, because you have the kind of faith that is enduring. And that faith, even though they didn't get to realize the blessings, it took them all the way through their life into heaven. And so what we need to understand is that we need to embrace the journey, even if we don't get to see the optimal reward of the journey. That is a biblical, strong, working, growing faith right there. To be able to take on a journey knowing that you won't see the ultimate reward of that journey. And to do it earnestly and, what's the word? Faithfully. That is an enduring faith. So I'm asking you to stand this morning. To truly understand faith, you have to get the biblical definition. And to get through this life appropriately, you need a certain level of biblical faith. And if you apply the convictions that are found inside of God's word, you will grow your faith. And what we need to understand is that faith is not just an act on our part. We do not preach blind faith here. The Bible does not present any form of blind faith. It doesn't exist in the Bible. That is a worldly term. That is a worldly process. We operate here in biblical faith. And what biblical faith means is that it is a gift from God. We receive the title deed for that. And then it is built on hope, which are guaranteed by God Himself. That's a whole nother level of living. So when we serve here, we serve in biblical faith. When we step out and go get on the journey that God has presented us in our lives, we do it with biblical faith. That is a whole different kind of living. And then just like the disciples asked, we need to continually come to Jesus and say, help us grow our faith. And for those of you that are blessed with that sanctified faith, by all means, step up and truly serve your ministry that God has bestowed upon you. So I'm going to open up the altars to you this morning. I know some of you are dealing with some things in your life where you need a healthy dose of faith right now. I know you got some things going on, and the doubts and the fears that the devil hammers us are just barraging us right now. But I'm here to tell you that if you'll come up and you'll offer yourself and say, "Dear Lord," just like the disciples did, "help me increase my faith," then He will respond in the proper way. And then I promise you that those who have that sanctified faith will be here to pray with you. I promise you that. So if you're in need of a little healthy dose of faith this morning, don't let the fears, don't let all the things that go on in our heads that keep us from coming forward and asking God for a healthy dose of faith today.